Well, it's an incredibly positive statistic. Australia has enjoyed nearly three decades of economic growth. But now a new report from the CSIRO warns we face a slow decline if we don't tackle our biggest economic, social and environmental challenges. The latest Australian National Outlook from our top science research body identifies key shifts required across industry, cities, energy, agriculture and corporate culture to ensure Australia has a bright future. This report has gathered insight from more than 50 leaders across business, not-for-profits and universities, and it warns we need to take action now to ensure we are on the right path. David Thodey is chair of the CSIRO. David Thodey, welcome back to Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran.
It's a bit of a wake-up call, this report. It's certainly a warning against complacency. This slow decline scenario, you have two scenarios, the slow decline and the other one is the positive economic future, positive outlook, rather. The slow decline scenario, how likely is it, do you think, that that's where Australia is heading and what exactly would it look like?
I'd like to think it's very low because doing nothing really isn't an option. And we really wanted to try and lay out what we see as a potential growth blueprint because there are challenges ahead of us across industry and energy and land, etc. But if we do something about it, we think there's a brighter future ahead. So I think the likelihood of a low, nothing outcome is pretty low, actually.
Well, if I look in your report, though, and it's got the two scenarios, and in slow decline, it says Australia drifts into the future. Economic growth, investment in education outcomes are all relatively weak. Australia's economy is increasingly vulnerable to external shocks. Total factor productivity, TFP growth remains well below the global frontier. I'm not sure what that is. And wage growth is relatively low. On that scenario, we tick three of those boxes, don't we, which is not a good thing.
Well, at the moment we do. There's no question we've got low wage growth and there are some other headwinds we've got coming at us. But I think the critical thing for us, Fran, was we wanted to get a view from a wide cross-section of people, which was, you know, the business leaders we brought in and from academics and say, well, look, what could we do to do it differently? And I think that's really the big question for Australia and how we can collaborate more, how we can really, you know, face into these issues. So while, yes, there's issues like in any business or anything we do in life, but if we actually gather together and move forward, we think it's a far brighter future ahead of us. That's really what we wanted to do.
Okay, let's look at the positive scenario, the outlook vision, which has us growing more strongly. There's a number of elements to it. The report finds living standards could be 36% higher. I'm not sure which time frame we're speaking about. I think it's 2060. If we take steps, including improving our take-up of technology and investing more in education. Now, Malcolm Turnbull had the innovation statement. Nothing much came from that. Australia's investment in R&D, as far as I can understand, is below global standards. And there's not been a lot of current investment in education. So what exactly do we need to do to turn this around?
Well, when we looked at this industry shift, I think you can't look at the industry landscape without considering technology. Now, that's not innovation, so let's put innovation aside. But this is that's the impact of technology, and that's right from computers, but it's the use of mechanization, it's the use of more sophisticated genetic engineering, etc., that we...
Artificial intelligence, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that sort of thing. But we don't want to just talk about artificial intelligence because I think that can be a bit misleading. But it's just like the use of the automobile or mechanization. But technology has played such a big part of our lives. So we really must increase the adoption of it. Now, it's very interesting. Australians are very early adopters of technology. But we have not used it as well as we think we could to boost productivity in many of our existing industries. We've had some great examples in mining and we're seeing great progress in agriculture, but we think there's still more that needs to be done. So if technology is a part of our future, what we need is to invest in education and in people so that they're prepared for that future and that they can really be, you know, part of that globally competitive workforce. So we think if we do more in that area, and I think we've seen a lot of discussion around investment education, it creates a far greater probability of us coming out with you know, stronger industries going forward.
So is that a directed investment to make sure that industry and our education systems, our higher education in particular, perhaps, are more closely aligned? Is that what that is? Or that we just have, we encourage more complete, more focus on, for instance, the STEM subjects?
Well, it's actually both. We think that you do need to continue to invest, you know, right through the education cycle, right, early stage, secondary and into tertiary. But we need to make sure that people are prepared for the use of technology, and therefore having maths and some of those STEM subjects is important, you know, being familiar with science and technology. But I want to be clear, it's not that everyone needs to go off and do a Bachelor of Science or a Bachelor of Computer Science. It's just being aware and be able to use the technology, because those analytical skills are important going forward. Just like we use mobile phones today, everyone's pretty familiar with that. We just need to make sure people are prepared for that future, and that we can really leverage it to make a difference.
There's a major focus too on energy, the transition's energy system with high reliability and affordability and lower emissions. It basically says that we can achieve net zero emissions by 2050 and still improve living standards and energy affordability. I'm not sure that is the message we're getting from government at the moment, but Australia is, there's a new report out today, in fact, mentioned in the Australian newspaper, that shows Australia's major adopter of renewable energy. I think we're number five in the world.
Well, we do think that energy management is a critical part of our future, and it is a complicated subject, but we must plan for this reliable and affordable low emissions energy. And as you move to renewables, as you move to different manufacturing of energy within a different grid structure, you have to plan for that. And you have to plan for, you know, the movement from fossil fuel through to renewables. So if we don't have a plan, we definitely won't get there. And what we're saying is, let's really steer into this so we manage the transition rather than being done to us. And we continue to use innovative ideas and technology to drive that forward. That's why CSIRO has been looking at hydrogen. While it's nowhere near as big a market today as some of the fossil fuel markets, we think hydrogen is a, you know, a great energy source and could be a great export opportunity for us. So if we drive into these things, we create new jobs, we create new exports, and we manage this energy shift. And that's what we need to do going forward.
Okay, the report also points to a decline in social cohesion. It talks about stagnant wage growth, intergenerational inequality, and a decline in trust in institutions. How do we address the trust in institutions?
Well, that's been around for a while. I think that the only way you can address trust is by being reliable and transparent in what you're doing. And part of this report is trying to lay out in an objective way, using good modelling techniques, all the different considerations you need to look at about looking at a more prosperous Australia. So, you know, we need more engagement. You know, we don't score strongly on the collaboration stakes across OECD countries. You know, our ability to work across academic, industry, public sector is not as strong as it should be. And we need to unite against a common and bigger vision for Australia.
And just finally, we only have a minute or so of the news, David, but the ABC reported, this is on another issue, away from your report on the Adani mine, the ABC reported last month that internal CSIRO correspondence showed the agency was being pushed to give quick formal approval to the water management plans for the coal mine. Since then, water scientists have been critical of the company's plans to mitigate the risks on nearby underground spring water. Is the CSIRO 100% confident in Adani's water management plan?
We're 100% in terms of the confident in the reports that we've given, and the reports.
That's not the same
out.
Thing. Are you 100% confident in the plan?
We did the science on this particular project, and we said there were a number of considerations we could see if a number of actions were taken, we could see that it could be an acceptable outcome. But there were a lot of work that needed to be done, so we laid out the science and laid out that objectively, and that's the report we gave.
And just briefly, in the end plan, are you happy it's been adopted?
In the end, that's a matter for the government. Our job as a CSIRO is to provide objective science that considers all the aspects of, you know, what is the best outcome for the environment.
All right. David Thodey, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Fran.
David Thodey is chair of the CSIRO.